So we got to the last line of Yudam and Beis. The Gemara was going through a series of introductions as the different Amaram would open up their drasha of Megillas Esther using a pasuk found in Tanakh, which somehow hinted to, related to Purim. So this last line says, Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak pasuk la pischa la hai parashas mihacha. He would introduce his shir with the following pasuk. Says the pasuk in Ezra, so we are slaves, u'avadusenu lo azavnu, but in our servitude of Hashem, He has not left us. Elokeinu vayeit aleinu chesed lifnei malchei pras, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us great chesed in front of the kings of Persia. Amos, when is this true? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed chesed to us. That was Bizman Haman. That's what this pasuk refers to. Then Rabbi Chanina bar Papa pasuk la'pischa la'hai parashas miyacha. His introduction was with the following pasuk, as it says, "Hikavta enosh l'roshenu." So you mounted, you like mounting a horse, but instead you mounted on top of our heads. Banu va'esh uva'mayim, and you mounted our heads, and we entered into fire and water. So what does it mean va'esh? That refers to bimei Nebuchadnezzar harasha. So we entered the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is a reference to the Rashi explains how he threw them into the fire. Rashi shehitalnu l'tocha kivshan. That's when Nebuchadnezzar is compared to Ish. And then uvamayim bimei paro, as we know from the stories of paro, kiyas yamsuf. And then votetsenu larvaya, the pasuk continues to say, bimei haman, when you brought us into raya, is the abundance, that refers to the days of Haman. Why is that referred to larvaya? So Rashi doesn't explain. But perhaps Lashra Mishta, okay, abundance of food and partying. So that's a reference to the celebration after Haman. So I guess it's interesting that when it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, we're referring to him as fire, Ish, that's what he did wrong. I guess that's where the nace took place during the Ish. And with the Mayim Aparo, that's also the nace of
Kriyas.
Right. So I guess these are referring to the actions that the Nebuchadnezzar did, and apparently when it comes to Paro, the Mayim was how Paro tried killing the firstborns in Mayim. When it comes to Haman, the explanation of Larvaya is not explaining what Haman tried doing to us, it's referring to our reaction, our celebration. So it's a little bit different how we're categorizing Haman versus that of Nebuchadnezzar and Paro. I'm not sure why, but just pointing out that difference. Then Rabbi Yochanan pasuk la pischa laha parshas mihacha, he would quote the following pasuk: Zachar chazdo v'munasa l'veis Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered his great kindness and emuna that he had towards Klal Yisrael. Ro chol afsei aretz, he saw all the different ends of the world. Eis Yishuas Elokeinu, and all the ends of the world, they saw the great Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought for Klal Yisrael. When was it true that the entire world saw the great Yeshua from Hashem? Mordechai Esther. It was during that time where there was letters went out to all the entire world of Achashverosh that he ruled that the Klal Yisrael should be killed. And when we saw the letter was turned over, I guess that was the great Yeshua that all the entire world had seen. Okay, what I just explained apparently was the Maharsha. Rashi says differently. I think a little bit the same, actually. Okay.
Well, the Maharsha says that since Ahasuerus ruled through the whole world, it became known, and according to Rashi, it's more that the Igeres were sent out.
The Maharsha was everyone, the entire world was...
Under Ahasuerus'
right.
rule.
So everyone was affected by it.
Right.
As opposed to Rashi, everybody knew about it, but not everybody was necessarily
right.
affected by it. Okay. Then the Reish Lakish pasuk la pischa la parshas miyacha. His introduction was from the pasuk Ari Noham, a roaring lion vidov shokek, and a growling bear Moshe Rasha al Amdal. So is a wicked ruler over a poor nation. So we compare the wicked ruler to a lion and a bear. So Ari Noham, the lion is Zed Nebuchadnezzar Harasha. This refers to Nebuchadnezzar. At other places, we see he's referred to as a lion. That the lion arose from the thicket, and that's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, that's a reference to Yirmiyah. Dov shokek, a growling bear, is ze achashverosh. We have other sources of achashverosh, also refers to bear, dechsibbe, v'aru, cheva achari, sinyana, damya, l'dov. So this is a pasuk that's found in Daniel. Daniel is all Aramaic, so this means, and behold, another beast, a second one similar to a bear. This pasuk in Daniel references Achashverosh. The Tanya of Yosef comments that Elu Parsayim, this pasuk in Daniel, is referring to the Persians. She'ochen v'shosun kedov, they eat and they drink just like bears do. U'mustrubalim basar kedov, and they're covered with flesh like a bear. And u'migalim ter b'kedov, and they grow hair like a bear. Ve'en lehem menucha kedov, and they don't have rest like a bear. So I'm not quite sure what that means. I guess it's different types of bear, but to my understanding, bears have quite... Okay. I guess during hibernation, no one's going to contest that. That's certainly some rest that they have.
They had no hibernation in Babylon.
Now maybe. I don't know how cold it got there.
Probably not.
Not so cold there, right? So then, Pasuk says, Moshe Rasha. What does that refer to? Part of the same Pasuk. That a wicked ruler. Zehaman, that refers to Haman, al amdal, on a poor nation, Elu Yisrael, Shem Dalan min mitzvos. That Klai Yisrael, at that time at least, were very poor, very deficient of performing mitzvahs. Okay, going further, Rebbe Elazar, Pasuk La Pischa L'Hai Parshas HaMehacham, he used this Pasuk as an introduction, as it says, but Sataim Yimach HaMekara, through the Atzayim, through Atzlas, through laziness, the Mekara, the ceiling, Yimach, comes down, Uvishiflas Yadayim, and through the idleness of one's hands, Yidlof Habayis, the house begins to leak. So what is this pasuk referred to? That the ceiling's coming down, the house is leaking. Bishvil Atlus Shayol Lehem LeYisrael, because of the great laziness that it was presented to Klai Yisrael, that was Klai Yisrael had, Shil Asku Torah, that they were lazy in their engagement in Torah, so Nasa Asono Shil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mach, the enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a euphemism for Klai Yisrael themselves, who became an enemy of Hashem by not forming the mitzvahs and being weak in Torah, they became very poor. That's what it references. And then v'ein mach el ani, and mach means poor. Shenem, I'll tell you where we are in a second, Adam. V'machu merkecha, the pasuk that proves that mach means poor. V'ein mekar el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the ceiling, the word mekar refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenem, ha-mekar v'mayim al Yosav, this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the roof, as being the ceiling. We're up to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, is the next one. You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, pasuk la-pischa la-ha parshas ha-miyacham. His introduction to his big drasha on Esther was from this pasuk, Shir Malos, Lule Hashem Shayalanu Yomar Na Yisrael. Had not Hashem been with us, Klai Yisrael, let Klai Yisrael declare, Lule Hashem Shayalanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. Had not Hashem been with us when a man rose up against us. So, what is this referred to, these times where Klai Yisrael declared and where the person stood up, rose up against us? Adam v'lo melech refers to a man and not to a king. That's Haman. Haman, of course, wasn't a melech. He was simply a high official in the government. And so when an Adam alone stood up against us to destroy us, that's what this pasuk refers to. Interesting. The Maharal explains that when a regular person stands up against Klai Yisrael, that perhaps is more dangerous than that of when a king stands up against us, because the king doesn't want to destroy his entire nation. He wants to preserve his nation, as opposed to a person who doesn't really care about his, it's not his nation, he doesn't care who he kills, who's left over, so sometimes it can be much more dangerous. Now, Rava Pasuk La Pischa La HaParsha Samihacham, his introduction was from this Pasuk, Birvos Tzadikim Yismacham, when the Tzadikim are very happy or exalted, they'll be people will be very happy when the Tzadikim are raised up. Uv Moshe Rasha Ye'anech Am. However, when the wicked rule, then Klai Yisrael or people begin to sigh. So Birvos Tzadikim Yismach Am. When Tzadikim are raised, Klai Yisrael, the nation, becomes very happy. Zeh Mordechai v'Esther. When everyone was very elated when Mordechai and Esther came to the rescue. Dechsiv v'Ha'ir Shushan Salev Samecha. There was a lot of excitement when the Yeshua came about through Mordechai and Esther. Moshe Rasha Yanach Am. However, when the Russian began to rule, the nation sighed. That refers to Zehaman. Shushan v'Navocha. The city of Shushan with Navocha was very bewildered or very much in shambles, and that refers to that part. Now, I'm not sure, just in terms of Psukim, it seems to be out of order, because, of course, the Ha'ir Shushan Salav Samecha comes at the end of the Megillah, as opposed to Ha'ir Shushan Navocha comes at the beginning of the Megillah. So I'm not sure why the Pasuk puts in the opposite order of, at first it mentions the exalting of Tzadikim, then it mentions the ruling of the Rasha. It should be the opposite way, based on the order of events. Okay, then Rav Masna Amar Mihacha, Rav Masa learned from this pasuk. This was his introduction. Ki mi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim elav. For what nation is so great that Hashem has close to it? So this Gemara doesn't really provide an explanation here. So we have down here an explanation. Does Rashi say anything? No, Rashi does not explain anything. So how does this connect to it? So it says down here that Haman told Achashverosh that Hashem had rejected the Jews and have driven them far away. That's what he says to them. Yeshnu am echad mefuzam mefurad bin ha'amim. They're very dispersed throughout the nation. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is very angry at them. So Rav Masa quoted this pasuk to demonstrate that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is still very close to them, despite the fact that Haman tried saying that, no, Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like them, the fact that he dispersed them over the world. This pasuk says that that's different, that in fact Hakadosh Baruch Hu still remains very close to them. Then Rav Ashi Amar Mihach, Rav Ashi brought his introduction from the pasuk, O Hanisa Elokim V'gomer, has any Hashem done any miracles? So I guess referring to miracles, this is a reference to the miracles of Esther. The Marsha has a whole lengthy discussion that this pasuk seems to indicate the correlation between the Nisim of Mitzrayim and the Nisim of Purim, and we know there are certainly a lot of connections between the two of them. We already saw one earlier in the Masechta that the opinion thought that Adar Sheni, if you have two Adars, which is the main Adar, we paskin that Adar Sheni. And one of the reasons why Adar Sheni was the chosen one because we wanted to juxtapose the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Nisan of Mitzrayim, so this is another connection. So this pasuk seems to indicate the various miracles that took place in Mitzrayim were similar to the miracles that took place in Shushan. Okay, so then that concludes our discussion of introductions to Joshua. Now the Gemara is going to go on for pretty much the remainder of the parak, discussing the various psukim, going in order of the psukim of Megillas Esther. So we already saw the word Vayihin, Vayihi Bimei. Vayihi Bimei tells us as an introduction, the word Vayihi could introduce either a good event or a positive event. Vayihi Bimei of Achashverosh is one of the five times of Lashon Tsar. So now the Gemara says, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh, Omer Rav, Voy Vihi. We break up the word Vayihi to two words, Voy Vihi, woe and mourning. Now, this might be the reason why initially we thought the word Vayihi always introduces Lashon Tsar. We ended up tweaking that a little bit, but the word Vayihi apparently has voy in hi, a woe and mourning. Hadad dechsid, that's what the pasuk means when it says, Vismakartem sham loivecha, lavadim lishvechos, and you will sell yourselves to the enemies as slaves. So how exactly does this pasuk connect? Does Rashi provide any explanation here? No, Rashi does not. Ah, so there's a Rashi here. I don't see the Rashi. Ah, you see Rashi Hada Dechsiv? It's on the right column of Rashi. It's seven lines up. Hada Dechsiv Kula, the Dibur Maskil is in brackets. So Rashi says, Masha Kasa B'Torah, Vein Kone Gazer Vein Kone, Gazer Haman Shlo Yehe Adam Rasha Liknos Mehem Le'Eved. That you cannot buy from them to be an Eved. You can't buy a Jew to be an Eved. That was a gzeira. Well, that sounds like a good thing that you wouldn't be sold as a.
Because they would have to be killed.
Be killed instead of.
Meaning there was no point in selling because he wanted to kill them.
Okay, so I see the Marsha explains that, right, they're going to be so poor, I guess, that they're going to need to be sold to make money, and no one's going to buy you. In fact, it's going to be worse. Not only will they not buy you, but they're also going to kill you instead. Okay, that's where the reference, I guess, to the double vayihi, the two things. Woe and mourning, you're going to be so impoverished, you're going to need to be sold, but no one's going to buy you because of the decree of Haman, so you're going to be left to be killed. And that's the double lashon. Okay. Ushmul Amar, Shmuel quoted the pasuk. I guess this goes back to the introductions of Joshua. I guess we were not quite finished yet. Shmuel says, Lo ma'astim v'lo galtim l'chalosam. I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to destroy them. So this pasuk means Lo ma'astim bimei yevanim. I'm not sure why we're going out of order. Rav goes back to darshan l'psukim, and now Shmuel is going back to bring introductions, but Lom Astim, I will not have been revolted by them. That refers to the Bimei Yevanim during the times of the Greeks. And Lo Galtim Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, that refers to the times of Nebuchadnezzar. So then the pasuk says lahafer, so lechalosam, to destroy them. This refers to the times bimei Haman, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will not leave us to allow Haman to destroy us. And the hafer bisi tam bimei parsaim, during the times of the Persians, he will not let them break the bris between them. And ki ani Hashem Elokehem bimei Gog u'Magog. This refers to the times of Gog u'Magog. All these refer to different times where Kadosh Baruch Hu will not completely leave and abandon Klal Yisrael. Now, b'masisa tana, there's a brisa that comments on this pasuk as well, which is a little bit different than the way Shmuel had presented it. The pasuk lo ma'astim, that refers to bimei kazdim and she'amati. What happened during that time? She'amati lahem Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, v'Hazariah. I appointed these great individuals as leaders. And v'lo ga'altim bimei ivanim, this time she'amati lahem Shimon Hatzadik v'chashmonoi uvanov matasyo kohen gadol. I had appointed these individuals as the heroes. Now, as a side point, the word Chashmonai here appears like it's a name, a person's name, as opposed to a last name. Is it Chashmonai is a name? So there's a big discussion how to pronounce the word. Is it Chashmonai or Chashmoni, I think, is Machlokas how to pronounce it. And it depends on whether Chashmonai is a first name or a last name. And some posts can bring this Gemara Zariah. Chashmonai seems like it's a first name, and therefore it should be pronounced Chashmonai as opposed to Chashmoni. Apparently there's a difference of how you pronounce it, whether it's a first name or a last name. And then the word L'chalosam, Bimei Haman, that refers to the times of Haman, She'emadati lehem Mordechai v'Esther, that I appointed these as the messengers to save Klal Yisrael. And L'hafer b'si itam, Bimei Parsam, during the times of the Persians, that She'emadati lehem Al-Shel Beis Rebbe v'chach Medaros, I appointed the base magister Rebbe and his Talmidim, the ones to save during the generations of Persia. It was more of a spiritual Gullus, so therefore he had to set up a base medjush. And Keni Hashem, Elokehem, lost the level, that refers to in the future, Shein Kol Umma V'Loshen Yichol Lishol Behem, where no nation is going to be able to dominate over Klal Yisrael. Okay, now still continuing on the introductions again, Rabbi Levi Amar, we have two more of these. Rabbi Levi said his introduction was from the following, Vim Lo Sarishu Es Yoshvei Haaretz, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land. So how does this relate to Perminal? So here Rashi says, this is the bottom of the right column of Rashi's, Vimlo Sarishu Af Elu Nenshu Al Shechamal Shaul Al Amalek. So these people were punished because that they were because Shaul showed compassion to Amalek, so they're not able to be driven out of Eretz Yisrael. So again, not referring directly to Haman, but since Haman of course came from Amalek and Shaul did not kill and wipe out Amalek, that led to the story of Purim happening, because it never would have happened if Shaul had killed the entire Amalek. Now Rabbi Chiya Amar Merhaka, his introduction was from the pasuk, "Vayak kasher dimisi." I shall come to pass that what I had thought, "Lasos lahem esalachem," what I thought to do to them, I will do to you. So what is it? How does this pasuk relate? So this is a pasuk that follows the previous pasuk of Rabbi Levi. So apparently it's saying that if Klal Yisrael does not step up and protect themselves and destroy the enemies, then the enemies instead will destroy Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this refers to, again, Haman on the verge of wiping out Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael had to step up and defend themselves in order to preempt from Haman killing them. And now going back to darshaning the psukim in Megillas Esther. The word Achashverosh, the name Achashverosh means what? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Ochiv Shelrosh, we're breaking the words Achashverosh into Ochiv Shelrosh, Uven Gilo Shelrosh, he was the brother of the Rosh, and he was also the same character, the same mazel of the Rosh. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Ochiv Shelrosh, top left line, Kolomer Domelo, he was similar to, Uven Gilo Ben Mazal, had the same, they're born in the same month, Shneem Das Achas Hayelhem, they both had the same Das. So what does this refer to exactly? He and who? So let's see. So Gemara explains, was Achav Shelrosh, he was the brother of the Rosh. How is Achashverosh the brother of the Rosh? Who's the Rosh? So the Gemara explains, Achav Shel Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha, Shenikar Rosh. Nebuchadnezzar, the Rasha, was called the Rosh. Shenemar Antu Resha Didahava. The Pasuk in Daniel, I think Daniel, right? Says here, Daniel, says, you are the Rosh. So Achashverosh was the brother of the Rosh, which means you're similar to Nebuchadnezzar. And Ben Gila Sharosh, you're born the same month, you have the same mawa as the Rosh, as Nebuchadnezzar. So who harog, who bikesh laharog? So Nebuchadnezzar killed, and Achashverosh thought to kill. They had the same intentions. Hu hechriv, hu bikesh lachriv. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the base of Mikdash. Achashverosh wanted to destroy the base of Mikdash. Shenemar uve malchus Achashverosh b'schilas malchuso. During the reign of Achashverosh in the beginning, kasu sitna a Yoshua Yehuda v'Yishlaim, he had wrote an accusation against the people living in Yishlaim and Yehuda, wanting to destroy them. That's a pasuk in Ezra. So that's what Achashverosh means. There's a strong correlation between him and Nebuchadnezzar. This refers to something different. It refers to that during the time of Achashverosh, the faces of Klal Yisrael became as dark as the bottom of a pot. It became so black like fire. This refers to the in what respect were they? Why did they become black? Let's see. But say what caused their face to become black? What does it mean when a face becomes black? Yeah, I'm not sure there. Not a positive here thing, but I'm not sure. Because
they used to fast a lot.
Okay. So that caused their faces to become black. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Shezochro Amar Ach Lerosh. Anybody who remembers, who mentions the name, says Ach, woe upon his head. That was the reaction to hearing the name Achashverosh, to hearing of this king. Rabbi Chanina Amar Shakol Nasa Roshin V'yamav. This refers to everyone became very poor during the times of Achashverosh, as the pasuk says, Shenemar Vayosim Amelech Achashverosh Mas. He placed very heavy, high taxes on the nation, causing them to be very impoverished. So then the pasuk now says, Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? So it's a very strange pasuk. He's Achashverosh. By the way, he's Achashverosh, but we just heard he's Achashverosh. So why the repetition of who Achashverosh? So the Gemara says, Hu berisho mitchilaso v'atsofo. Hu Achashverosh emphasized that he was Achashverosh from the beginning to the end. He was a Rasha from the beginning to the end, through and through and out. The pasuk says, "Hu Esav." Also, we have similarly that he was Esav. What do you mean, "Hu Esav"? Hu Berisho B'Tchilaso Atzofo. From beginning to end, he was with his Rishus as being as Esav was. Hu Dasan V'Aviram. We're going through a number of sources that had the same emphasis of who, that they maintained their character from beginning to end. Hein Berishon B'Tchilaso V'Atzofo, and they too were Risham from beginning to end. Hu Amelch Achaz, Melch Achaz as well. Hu Berisho B'Tchilaso V'Atzofo. He also maintained that same character as being a Rasha his entire life. Avram, who Avram, this is a different, of course, who b'tzidko mitchilas avat. So if Avram was always a tzaddik from beginning to end, who Aaron and Moshe, hein b'tzidkasan mitchilasan avat. So they too kept their righteousness throughout. David, who hakatan, who b'katnusa mitchilas avat. So he always remained as a great anav throughout his life. Kishem shebekatnuso hiktin atzmo etam mishagadol mimenu b'torah. Just like when David was young and small, he maintained his humility with respect to somebody greater than him. So too, when he was the king, he was also maintained his humility. And the Gemara's and Brachos talk about also in what great extent David showed his great humility in terms of he would look at, the Gemara says he would look at Shilas of women of Maros when he was a king. The Gemara describes how he like put himself in Dam as the king in order to ask Shilas, and how he'd also bow to a greater Talmid Chachamim Achitofel than he himself, because of his great humility, even as being king of Klal Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean, Hamolech, that Achashverosh was the one who ruled? Amar Rav, Shemolech Me'atmo, he was self-anointed, self-appointed as king. So Amri Leish L'Shvach, Amri L'Gnai, this could be interpreted in one of two ways. One could say this is quite positive, that he became king on his own, and others say he kind of forced it in, he was undeserving of it, it was L'Gnai. Gemara says, how so? I'm really the Shvach. Some say this is as a praise to Achashverosh. The lo have inish dechashel lamalka kavasei. No one was as great as him. He was the most fitting king of that time. Others say this was in the negative. The lo have chazil lamachusa. He was very unfit to become the king. Umemoni yisera who the yahav v'kam. But he basically bribed himself into as being king. So it's really l'gnai. And everybody agrees he was basically self-appointed. Mehoduvad Kush, that he ruled over these places from Hoduvad Kush, Rav Shmuel, both of them hold that, there's a machlokas, Chad Amar Hodu b'sofa olam v'chush b'sofa olam. One of them holds that Hod was at one end of the world and Kush was the other end of the world. V'chad Amar Hodu v'kush gabe hadadei havekaimu. And the other opinion thinks that they're right next to each other. Kishem, so the first opinion thought that Achashverosh ruled over the entire world from one end to the other end. May Hodu had Kush. And the other one held that they're both next to each other, which meant Kishem Shemalach al Hodu v'kush, just like Achashverosh ruled over two cities right next to each other, Kach Malach Misof Ha'ulam v'atzof v'sotu, he ruled over the entire world from one end to the next. Now, I never understood this pasuk exactly. I don't know how you learned that. The fact that two pasukim are next to each other, two cities are next to each other, that tells me that he ruled over the entire world from one end to the next end. Yeah, they explained it?
Go around the world the other way.
What?
Go around the world the other way.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah? שמלך על 127 מדינה וזה גדול הרבה מהודת כוש אלא צריך לומר שהמגילה ציינה חודו וכוש כדי ללמדנו שמדינות אלו היו דוגמה לתוקף מלכותו דהיינו חשברוש מלך על כל עולם באותו תוקף וגבורה שבהם מלך על הודו וכוש היו סמוכים במקום מלכותו Meaning that the same way as he ruled over such big cities, he ruled over the whole world. It's more like
showing his might that he had. That the Baam here quotes an Or Chadash, like what Adam was suggesting. No one argues that they were not next to each other. Location, they're both next to each other. The question, how do you view it? So the one opinion views it as Adam saying the opposite, like that, going that way around the world. I go, notwithstanding the discussion whether it was flat or round. But it's ruled like that direction. Everything was included from that perspective. The other one viewed his ruling as being right next to each other.
We were at the international dateline.
Right. So then the Gemara says, Kiyoti Bedavar, in a similar fashion, are Mitifsach Vad Aza, that Shlomo Melech had ruled over the other side of the river from Tifsach up until Aza. Very appropriate. So Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar Tifsach B'sof Ha'olam, V'Aza B'sof Ha'olam. So one of them, between Rav and Shmuel, held that Aza was one end of the world, and Tifsach was the opposite end of the world. V'Chad Amar Tifsach V'Aza B'Dadeh Ha'Dadeh Ha'Va, one thinks that these two cities were next to each other, Kaimi, Kishem Shemalch Al Tifsach V'Aza, just like he had as much strength and control over these two cities which were next to each other, Kach Malach Al Kolam Kulo, so too had the same type of strength over the entire world. Then the next pasuk that the Gemara darshins is Sheva Shvesim Me'a Medina. There were 720, meaning 127 Medinas, provinces that Achashverosh ruled over. Amar Rav Chisda, Bitchila Malach Al Sheva. First he had ruled over only seven provinces. Uvasof Malach Al Asrim, then it went up to 20. Uvasof Malach Al Me'a, then finally went up to 100. So really, this is not so accurate. He just ruled over 100, not 127. Still a lot, but 100 was the final number. So Elamiyat, if that's the case, Shnei Chai Amram Sheva Ushloshim Mashana. Are you going to interpret my Darsha's way? What's the Joshua going to be here? That Amram was 7, then he was 30, then he was 100? Very strange Joshua. Sounds like that's not the case. Sounds like the total number of what he ruled over was 127, not 7, then 20, then 100. So Shani Hacha the Krayuserhus. The Gemara says no. In this case, it's different because there are extra words here. What are the extra words? Ksiv me holduvat kush. It says holduvat kush. So Sheva of Esim Me'a Medina Lamali. I could just count all the provinces that exist in the world. If I knew he ruled over the world, I'll just count everything. Why does the pasuk have to specify 7, 20, and 100? Must be Shema Amin al-Drash. It must be saying, don't read the pasuk literally as being a total of 127. There must be a drash that needs to be made. Namely, there are 7, then 20, then 100 provinces that he ruled over. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara brings a brayse that says Shlosha Malcha Bekipa. There were three kings in history who ruled over the entire world. Bekipa, which literally means like a dome, a covering. They had full control over the entire world. Ve'elohein, Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. None of these three were really great kings. So Achav dechsev Patrick says Chai Shem Lokecha Im Yesh Goy B'Mlacha Asher Lo Shalach Adoni Sham Levekshecha. As Hashem, your God, lives, there's no nation or kingdom where my master is not sent to look for you. V'lo dahava malachalayu, now if Achav did not rule over them, how could he make such a shvua? It must be that Achav had full control over the entire world.
But I think that's proven that
no. It wasn't so accurate?
No, I mean, Achav had wars all the time.
Right, well, it doesn't mean that he... he had peace throughout his time, but he, I guess, officially had it was under his ruling.
It says the fipshuto shalat mamash bechol arzot kasher sharei achav afilu beretzo lo shalat sharei matzino bekatuv shemalach aram. Right, shemalach aram shalach elav, because he had all his fights with Aram. Kaspecho zeva lihu. ודבר זה נחשב למלוכה יותר ממי שמולך בכוח הזירו.
So they had some loyalty towards him, it just it wasn't always so peaceful.
Right.
Okay.
Because he had fight, he had wars all the time against Aram.
Okay, which is strange. If he had fights with Melech Aram, so clearly there existed other kings beside himself.
So it says that people loved him because he was always about the Zara. And he might be from the Goyim.
Right. Okay, so he was the first one, which again, as we're pointing out, is arguable whether he really had complete control. Nebuchadnezzar, how do we know that he had complete control of the world? Dechsiv v'ayah ha'goy ha'vamlocha, that the nation and the kingdom, asher lo yitin es tzavaro ba'ol melech Babel, there is no such place that will not put their necks under the yoke of the king of Babel, namely Nebuchadnezzar. So this pasuk testifies to the fact that he did have full control of the world. Achashverosh had Amram, that we said above, that he had ruled over 127 or maybe only 100 provinces, but he had pretty much full control of the entire world as well. So Gemara says, is that really an exhaustive list of those three? Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar, Suleka, there's no more than those three. Vahiki Shlomo, didn't Shlomo Melch have complete control of the entire world? Gemara says, Lo Salik Malchusei, that came to Shlomo Melch, that his Malchus was never really completed. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that when he was trying to get the Shemir, the worm, to build the Beis HaMikdash, the whole mice that happened, there's a certain bird that knew where the worm was, but gets it once a year, so the only way to get control of the bird was to get one of these Shadim to come. And he had conquered the Shade, he tricked the Shade, he got the Shade drunk, and took captivity of the Shade, and the Shade told him how to do this. And this whole long Misa, and then and every day the Shade would talk to Shlomo Melech, and finally he convinced Shlomo to let him go free. And the Shade took Shlomo Melech and threw him from one end of the world to the other one, like juggling him back and forth, and Shlomo went crazy. So he never really completed his Malchus. So since he didn't complete his Malchus, he went crazy, he went insane from being thrown up and down throughout the entire world, his kingdom wasn't viewed as one of these, one of the rulers that controlled the entire world. So the Gemara explains, that makes sense according to the opinion that Shlomo was a king.
So
that
to explain why he let his wives go. And Gemara comes to explain why he let his wives go with Azara at the end?
I don't think the Gemara is explaining.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I don't think so, no. So then the Gemara says, so that makes sense if you say that Hanich Laman Damar Hamelech Behedot, he was initially king, but after this event, he went crazy and insane. So that's fine, he never completed his Malchus. That he actually came back to his senses and he ended up becoming king. So Michael Namer, he did finish as being king, so he should be accredited with the fact that he had control of the entire earth. So the Gemara says, Michael Namer. So Shlomo Melech asach risa have. Okay, fine. Granted that he had control of the entire world, but the reason why he wasn't considered on this list because he had something else with his ability as king. Habayit shemalch al helyonim ba'al hatachtonim. Not only did he rule over the tachtonim, but he also ruled over the elyonim, which put him on a different list, the specialist, not included with the other three rishayim. Shenemar vayashav haShlomo al kisei Hashem. He sat on the throne of Hashem. He had control over everything, tachtonim and elyonim. But didn't Sancheriv also have control of the entire world? So he should be on the list. Is there anybody in the entire world that was saved, that was spared from me? So Gemara says, no, Sancheriv, yeah, he had pretty much control, but not entire control, because he never conquered Yushalayim, so therefore he was not on that list. That he was the king of the entire, all the nations, Umaya, Belishno, in every single nation, every single language, the Darin Bechalara Shalmachan, Yaska, and every single person who lived in the earth. So Gemara says, Ikasheva de Lamachalayo, there were still seven areas that he had not conquered, Dichsiv. The Pasuk says that Shfar Kadam Dayavish, Vahakim al Machusa. It was very pleasing, Shafrit, Shapir, it's good for Dayavish, that he had appointed over the kingdom of Machusa, Lach Shapanya, Me'av Esrim. They appointed 120 satraps. So we see, I'm not sure what a satrap is exactly, I guess a province. So we see only at 120, as opposed to Achashverosh had 127 provinces. That goes back to what we said before. According to the Gemara, there's only 100 provinces that he ruled over, not 127. I guess this pasuk takes into account, reading the pasuk literally, that he, in fact, Achashverosh did have 127. Any comments on that, Adam?
I see you're just, no, that's wonderful.
Right. Okay, so I'm not sure. I have to look in to see if anyone else comments on that. Gemara says, what about Vahaika Koresh? Didn't Koresh, didn't Cyrus, didn't he reign over the entire world? Dechsiv Kamar Koresh Melech Paras, Kol Mamlachos Haaretz Nasan LiHashem. That he stated that the entire world, all the other kingdoms, HaKoresh Baruch Hu had given to me. Hasam Ishabucha Hu Dekavim Shachmin Nafshe. He was basically praising himself, but it really wasn't true. He was lying. He really did not have control over the entire world. Now going back to darshaning the Pesukim in Megillah, the Pasuk says, "Bayamim ahim kisheves hamelech," and it was those days where the king had sat. So what does this mean? Uchsib basrei, afterwards it says, "Bishnas shalosh l'malko," and it was the third year of his reign. So initially, "Bayamim ahim kisheves hamelech" sounds like when he began to become the king. The beginning. And then it says the third year. So was it the beginning or was it the third year? Seems to be a contradiction. So Amir Rav explains, my kisheves, what would be kisheves? L'acha shenishayis v'daito. After he became appeased, his mind was at ease that during the third year that took place. Not at the beginning of his reign, but rather when he became settled and I guess he had control, full control as to what was going on. So Amir Belshazzar, chishevata. So Belshazzar, so Achashverosh said, Belshazzar had made a calculation about when the 70 years of Gullus is going to be, when it's going to be over. But he made a mistake. So, ani chashiv nevelo tainu, but I'm going to make the calculation and I'm going to not make any mistakes. What happened was, Belshazzar thought the 70 years from the destruction by Rishon had come, and Klal Yisrael was not returned yet to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, so he thought that it must be that Klal Yisrael is never going back to...
After seven,
exactly. He miscalculated the 70 years, so he thought, oh, they're not going back forever. Achashverosh said, he made a mistake. I'm going to make the correct calculation, and I'm not going to make a mistake. So, Mahi, what's this whole calculation? What's the mistake of Belshazzar? The Pasuk says, Dechsiv ki lifi melos lebavel shivim shana efkod eschem. So when the 70 years are completed from Babel, I shall remember you. Akash Baruch Hu will return Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Uksiv, it's also written, lemalos lecharvos yishlam shivim shana. And it's also written, when they complete the 70 years from the destruction of Yishalayim. So begin. So he thought that it began from the time when he began when Nebuchadnezzar apparently became king initially of Babel. That's when he thought the 70 years would start. This was the year 441 BCE. That's when he thought the calculation would begin. So therefore, so he calculated 45 years that Nebuchadnezzar was king, and then 23 years, and then there were 23 years of the evil Merodach, Evel is Russia, and Tarte Didei, and 2 years of his own, so that gives us 45 plus 23 is 68, plus 2 years of his own reign as Belshazzar, that total 70, he thought during the completion of his 70th year, his second year, was a complete 70 years. Hashivim, that's 70. Apik mani debi mekdash v'ishtamishbu, therefore he took out the kalim of the base of Mekdash and used them and abused the kalim because he thought the 70 years were up and there was no return. Must be that they're destined to be in Gullus forever. I'm going to use these kalim. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, menon da'arbam ve'achamish shanim malach. How do we know that Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years as part of the calculation of Belshazzar? So the Gemara tells us, Amar Mar, Galu B'Sheva, Galu B'Shmona, and Galu B'Sheva, Galu B'Shmona, Galu B'Shmona Esrei, Galu B'Teisha Esrei. So they exiled in the 7th year, in the 8th year, in the 18th year, and in the 19th year. So what does this all mean? So Gemara explains as follows. Galu b'sheva, they were exiled in the seventh year. L'chibush Yehoyakim, galus Yehoyakim. The exile of Yehoyakim occurred during the seventh year of Nebuchadnezzar. Yes.
This has much more than 70, right? I mean, 45 plus 23 is 68, plus 3 is 71, plus 2 is 70.
No, it was plus 2. 45, 23, 2.
No. So what do I have here in the... here puts Barshatzar 3.
Oh yeah, where the pasuk says Tarte. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to explain the 45-year calculation of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So it says this statement that they were exiled during the seventh year, during the eighth year, during the 18th year, and during the 19th year. What does this mean exactly? So Gemara explains as follows: Galu b'sheva, they were exiled during the exile of Yehoyachin was during the seventh year of the conquest of Yehoyakim. I guess I wish I knew all these stories, but when Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Yehoyakim, this happened. Sorry. Yeah, there's not enough footnotes here to explain all the backgrounds here. I think the Gemara is going to explain further, maybe. Let's see this. Okay, so I think there were, even though the Gemara had mentioned that there are four galus, there's really two exiles, but there's a difference of when this happened, when it exactly happened. So one galus happened during the seventh year, and that same galus happened during the eighth year. We'll see the difference between the seventh and the eighth year. And the second galus occurred either in the 18th year or the 19th year.
Right, so the first galus was when Mordechai went down.
Yeah?
Asher Eglah
Yishalayim?
Yeah,
In the Megillah?
It says, under who Asher Eglah Yerushalayim, in the Yad.
In Melch Bava, it says, now Asher Eglah Yerushalayim. And what's next word?
It says, from whom? Because there were two galus, they were 11 years apart.
Uh-huh.
So first, you know, so there's a whole midrash that Hashem sent first
So the exile of Yehoyachin, so you're saying he led the other Talmid Chachamim in the seventh year to be exiled first to Babel to establish Bati Midrashos there. Okay, so
Hashem
did that, but have them set up.
Right.
Okay, so again, so Galu b'sheva l'chibush Yehoyakim, Yehoyakim galus Yehoyachin. So Yehoyachin, so the exile of Yehoyachin and the other Rabbanim occurred during the seventh year when Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Yehoyakim, which Shehishmona l'Nebuchadnezzar, which was happened to be the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So I guess it turns out that Nebuchadnezzar must have conquered Yehoyakim during Nebuchadnezzar's first year as king, and 7 years later, which happens to be his eighth year as king, is when Yehoyakim had the first galus. And Galu b'shmona esrei, the chibush Yehoyakim galus Tzidkiyahu, and then Tzidkiyahu later on in the 18th year from the conquering of Yehoyakim is when the second galus took place, which was Shehi Tisha esrei Nebuchadnezzar, which turned out to be the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So these are two different exiles that we're talking about. Damar. The Mar tells us that the statement is that Shana Rishona Kibush Nineveh. During the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had conquered Nineveh. I guess Nineveh was the place where he also conquered Yehoyakim. And Shnia Kibush, I guess the second year, Kibush Yehoyakim. Then in the very next year, he conquered Yehoyakim. So when we have these calculations of the 7th or the 8th year, or the 18th or 19th year, that's either from the conquering of Yehoyakim or from the beginning of the ruling of Nebuchadnezzar. But it's really only two galios that we're referring to. The pasuk now proves this idea that he ruled for 45 years. See, the pasuk says, "Vayhi b'shloshim v'sheva shana legalus Yehoyachin," and it was 37 years from the galus for Yehoyachin. So Yehoyachin took place during the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. That gives us 45 years. So during the 37th year since the Galus of Yoyachin, Melch Yehuda, when he was exiled, B'shnei Masar Chodesh, in the 12th month, B'esim V'chamisha L'chodesh, so the 25th of Adar, Nasa Evel Merodach, so Evel Merodach, the evil king Merodach, that was his name, sounds like Murdoch, Melch Bavel, B'shas Malchuso, as Rosh Yoyachin, Melch Yehuda, V'yotze Yosem B'beis HaKalo. What happened was that then the new king became about, Merodach was the new king, and he lifted up Yehoyachin and brought him forth from prison. So I guess Merodach became the king after 45 years. So the calculation is, so Merodach, after 37 years of Yehoyachin being in Galus, Merodach called to Yehoyachin to come, Yehoyachin to come out. And the 37 years began really 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king. So that becomes a total of 45 years of him being king. So the Gemara does a calculation. Tamnei, the first 8 years from the initial Galus, and then Tlasin Ushviva, then another 37, that gives Ha'arbar Mechamesh to Nebuchadnezzar. That's the 45 years that Nebuchadnezzar was the king for. Then the Gemara says, how do we know the Ve'esim Tlas De'evil Merodach Gemara? That we have a Mesorah that Merodach was the king for 23 years. And Tarti Didei, in the 2 years of Belshazzar himself, Ha'shivan, that gives us a total of 7. So that was his calculation. So Amar, Ha'shivadei Tulo Mifriki, Belshazzar said to himself, now Vadai, Klai Yisrael is not going to be redeemed. Apik Mani De Beit Mikdash Vishtamish, Behu, he therefore took out the Kedlim from the base of Mikdash, and he had used them. Hainu de Kamer Le Daniel, this is what Daniel said, Val Mara Shemaya, above the master of the Shemayim, his Shemamta, that he exalted, and you have exalted yourself, Belshazzar, Ulemanaya de Bebesa, and the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, Haise Kadamach, that they have brought before you. Uchsib, and it's written further in Daniel, Ube Leila Ketil, that very night Belshazzar, Malka Kasada, the king, the Chaldin was king. He was killed that very night. After taking the Kalim out, he was king. He was killed, rather. So we see from here that Belshazzar was incorrect in his calculation, and that's why he was killed. Uksiv v'dayavish mada kabel machusa. Dayavish then had taken over as the new king after the death of Belshazzar. Kvar shinin shitin v'tartin at the age of 62 years.
So what was his mistake? That he started counting from when instead of what?
The Gemara is going to explain what the mistake exactly was. Okay. But those are the 70 years that he calculated. So where was he mistaken, though? So Gemara says, Amar iu mitaytai. So Ahasuerus said that Belshazzar made a mistake. I'm going to make the calculation, and I will not make a mistake. He says, "Miksev l'malchus Bavel." Does the pasuk say l'malchus Bavel? Because Belshazzar took the calculation for the Malchus Bavel. He started when the first king of Bavel came about. That was Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't about Malchus Bavel. The calculation should be libavel ksev to Bavel. My libavel legalus Bavel. It should be from the galus of Bavel, not the Malchus of Bavel. So the Malchus Bavel started in one, you know, but 1 year later was when the Galus Bavel happened, when he had exiled Yehoyachin. So he was a year off. I think that's the calculation. Was it a year off? No, he said Yehoyachin was 8 years off. 8 years, so he's off by 8 years. Again, Malchus Bavel started at one point, and that's what he used, Belshazzar used as the calculation. But Ahasuerus said it should come from Galus Bavel, which is going to be 8 years later. So let's see the calculation. Kama bitzir, and how much of the 70 years was missing? Tamni was missing 8 years. Chashiv ayel chilufayu. So he calculated and inserted the other years into place. And chada de Belshazzar. So there's 1 year that Belshazzar became king, one more year before Ahasuerus, I guess. And then chamesh de dayavish v'charish. And then another 5 years where dayavish and charish split. That's six. And tarte didei, in 2 years of his own, Hashivan, that total 7. So therefore, in the third year, after the completion of 70-year calculation, during the third year of Ahasuerus, that's when he said, wait a second, I guess they're not going to be redeemed anymore. Let's take out the kalim. That's what the pasuk says, kalim shonim. That refers to using the various kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Kevin dechazu demalu shivin. So once Ahasuerus realized that the 7 years had been completed, lo ifrik, and Klai Yisrael was not redeemed, amar hashtevade sulam ifrik. Now certainly they're no longer going to be redeemed. Apik mani de be mikdash vishamish bu. He therefore took out all the kalim from the base of mikdash and started using them as well. Bas satan v'rikid b'neim v'rhag asvashi. Came along to the satan and danced in front of whatever that means exactly, and made him crazy and caused him to kill Vashti. So I'm not sure why this was the punishment, as opposed to when Belshazzar did this, he himself was killed. In this case, Ahasuerus was left alive. It was his wife that was killed instead. So the Ben Yehuda apparently asks this question as well.
he wasn't as far off, right?
So, oh, in terms of calculation, you think? That's why? So, the reason, because since Vashti was the only child of Belshazzar, so it somehow it signaled the demise of her father's lineage, and that was a major penalty of Dayavish, of Belshazzar, rather. Somehow relating to that point, I'm not quite understanding what it's saying below here, but something along the lines of Achashverosh didn't do such a bad sin because he was simply following his predecessor's example. He set the example, he just followed what his predecessor did, so it wasn't so bad for Achashverosh. It was bad, but it wasn't his own innovative idea to use the Kalim base of Mikdash, and therefore the punishment was taken out on Belshazzar's only child to entirely wipe out his name. So then the Gemara says, V'hashapar chashiv. But didn't Achashverosh make a very sensible calculation? He did the 70 years from the Gullus Bavel, and we see Klai Yisrael wasn't redeemed. So wasn't Achashverosh right? He also made a mistake. It should have been calculated from the destruction of Yerushalayim, which took place some point after the Gullus of Bavel. It occurred 11 years later, that you were saying, 11 years later, after Yehoyachin, that's when the Gullus really began, of the destruction of the base of Mikdash, of Yerushalayim, and he was off by 11 years. So, in the end of the day, so how many years must be deleted from Achashverosh's calculation? 11 years, we said. How long did Achashverosh rule for? Arbesar, he ruled for 14 years. So it seemed like at the end of his 14 years, that's when Klai Yisrael should be returned, the 70 years should be complete. As it says, Barbesar, this is a pasuk found in... no, that is not a pasuk. Barbesar didei ibarle the mivne beis hamikdash. So if that's the case, the 14th year of his reign, they should rebuild the beis hamikdash. Alama ksiv, why does the pasuk say, Badain betelas avidas beis alaka dib yishlaim? Then the work of the beis hamikdash was discontinued. This is a pasuk in Ezra. So, this only happened in the 2 years of Amar Rava. This happened, 2 years after Achashverosh ruled. So Gemara says, Amar Rava shanim mikutalos havu. They were partial years in between. They were calculating full years. There were certain years where the kings overlapped. Meaning, let's say, the last year of Dayavish, or Koresh rather, was the first year of Achashverosh. So they counted those as two separate years, but really, in fact, it was half years that they should have been accredited with. Right, it should be 4 years, not 5 years, because they must have split one of the years together. Well, doing all of that, turns out that it was the 14 years of Achashverosh was really not the complete 70 years. Okay, we'll stop here.